All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is February the 16th, 2026. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you are at. It is Monday. Back to it. Thought I would come upstairs, see if we can put something together. Great weekend. Yeah, everything's good. A little quiet, a little slow, but, you know, right on par, right? It's all good. Beautiful weekend. I got up yesterday. I'm like, I'm going to get my car washed. I want to get it. You know, we've had a lot of ice and snow and salt and filth. And, you know, I was like yesterday, I'm like, I want to get my car washed. I want to really clean out the inside. Not that it was that bad. I really try to keep it pretty good, but get some grime and stuff. And so I was like, I want to spend some time. And, yeah, spent some time. Got it looking beautiful. Got it, put some wax on it. And then it started raining. And I had actually checked the weather. I was like, is this going to rain? Because if it is, I really don't, you know, there's no sense. Actually, I shouldn't say that. There was a sense. Because I needed to get, it was, you know, it was covered in salt and stuff. So I wanted to get it clean. So regardless. But it said no rain. Of course, I do the car. It looks beautiful. And then it starts to rain. And it rained. And it was raining all night. I mean, pouring. And woke up this morning, no more rain. Everything's beautiful. Put the trash out. Everybody's happy. Streets are clean. Good flushing of all that salt and dirt. But yeah, back to the work week. Back to the week. It is Monday. Thought I would come upstairs. I went to a meeting on Friday. Trying to do my typical Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Got to the meeting on Friday. Great meeting. Love that meeting. Many reasons I love that meeting. One, it's right up the street. But number two, this was a meeting that me and my buddy started. We did not start the meeting. I came back to the meeting sort of after the pandemic had ended or was ending, and my buddy was sort of holding that meeting together. They must have had a meeting prior to it or at some point, and he is that guy, right? He will write it all the way down. And he was doing that. And, you know, good on him. The meeting was barely hanging on. I got there. I said, let me help. And he says, you can take it over. And I did nothing but, you know, just fill in, you know, stepped in, gave it new energy. And, you know, one person would come, two people would come. And then they actually did a revamp of the building and kicked us out. And we started this, moved the meeting over to where most of the meetings I go to now are. And, you know, it has, I've shared in this podcast, I mean, if you listen to this podcast, everybody knows it's been quite a journey and a roller coaster with that meeting. But, you know, finally getting a sign-up sheet, getting people to sign up and take on the commitment and bring in people and let my buddy be free of having the burden of having to open it up every week, right? I'm not going to dive into it too much, but went to the meeting on Friday. Great turnout. One of the guys I sponsor is actually sitting up front, took the commitment for the month, brought in a guy to share, did a great job. And, you know, it's running. It's doing exactly what the meeting is supposed to do. And I love it, you know, and I don't take any credit for it. That idea has been way before I did. But, you know, and we got in some fights and some arguments and, you know, it was a little rough. The demons didn't want us to have success at that meeting. You know, it's weird. When I started thinking about that, that's the spiritual awakening, right? What I thought was one. And for me, listen, it's my journey. I'm call it what it wants, but or what I want, what I would want. But this spiritual journey and this spiritual awakening is really just this, for me, this idea that there are a lot of spirits out there and they're not all rooting for me. And it seems like when situations like that come up where him and I, you know, gotten some arguments, right? We got some personality differences. And I was like, I'm not going back. You know, we've gone through the gambit and we both pushed through. And here we are. And the meeting is doing pretty well. And, you know, it was cool. I got to go. And, you know, another buddy of mine who I've seen, I got a lot of cool stuff in this right now in recovery. And I'm sure it was the same way, except that back then I was one of the younger people. But today, you know, it's cool to see a lot of these younger guys coming in and sort of staying, right? Sticking and staying. And they come in, and it really, you know, it was really that pandemic ending and the meetings starting back up is where a lot of the people that I am associated with today grew from. Because there was no meetings, right? And that over there in Long Neck, that meeting opened up and we had to wear masks, but it was like the first one. And it seemed like a lot of people were setting ready to get back into it. And I know for myself, you know, just like, goddamn, I took advantage of the fact I had meetings. And now that they're gone, I'm, you know, I've been through that. But I was excited and I was ready and, you know, wringing my hands, ready, let's get back to the meetings. And that's where a lot of the relationships I have today started from, was that my home group. And a lot of people have hung in there. Some have not, but a lot of people have. And a lot of these younger guys and ladies. But it's been great to see these young guys come up and sort of, you know, hang in there. And, you know, when other young guys come in and it's sort of, you know, it sets the tone. It gives, you know, when I came into the program, it didn't feel like there was a lot of younger people. It seemed like there was a lot of older people. And it would have been nice if I would have had a younger crowd, or maybe not. I don't even know. I'm not even sure why I just said that. It worked. But it's nice to see these guys having these men's breakfasts and, you know, hanging out and really holding each other accountable. And one of the guys that sat up front was one of these guys, and he's just really done well and hung in there. And, yeah. I'm grateful, man. I'm really grateful for this, the opportunity that I have if I choose to take it. I'm not alone. I live with the memories. Regret is my home. This is my true freedom. Express all the feelings of what I become. I watch the rising sun. I hope I find some peace today. It seems I've gone away. It seems I've lost myself. It seems I really lost my way. It seems I've lost myself. It seems Alter Bridge. I'm on an Alter Bridge kick right now. Shed my skin. Yeah, you know, it's just been good. I'm really grateful. It's been really cool. Been blessed. A lot of friends and stuff. But yeah, I did go to the meeting on Friday. That was the whole point. I went to a meeting on Friday, and it was really good. You know, one of my friends spoke, and I think he pretty much got sober. I think he might have celebrated his year. I probably saw him celebrate his first year. So he's what, three or four years now into it. And he's done well. And I really liked what he had to say. But it was a reminder. And it, you know, it's like, And I shared, you know, when I got sober, it was so crazy. You know, my life was, you know, coming to every day, you know, full of shame and regret, probably wondering how I was going to handle whatever situation that I was going to from the night before or from the last incident, whether it's I'm not able to drive or I'm still drunk or, you know, what did I break last night? Do I have, am I pulling something from last night into today already? Sometimes I would wake up and I maybe hadn't drunk the night before for some reason and maybe felt good and maybe felt hopeful. But, you know, it was a constant, I don't know, man, just a big random spin wheel of what today was going to bring. And it was a miserable existence, but I had been doing it for so long. You know, I didn't really know much. I didn't really know any better. And that day, March 31st, 1997, having that moment of providence, right, and ending up in the hospital, and then all of a sudden waking up and my life had shifted completely, right? It had gone from chaos, sadness, hopelessness to, I mean, really, it was like, okay, I got the day off, right? I'm at the freaking the hospital. I'm clearly not going. I've said before, you know, my motivation to go to the hospital that day was not, you know, oh boy, I hope I can start a new life. It was, let's not face my friends and why I got stitches. We'll get the day off. Let's get a few days off. And, you know, I went from this I went from a world that was horrible to a completely different world. I mean, like, snatched out. And it's not like you can just, you know, drag your toe into that old world. That world was done. If I decided to follow with the suggestions and move forward, I always had the opportunity to go back, but I AA grabbed me up, right? They met me up at the room on Tuesday. They brought me down. Ron Amby grabbed me up. And next thing you know, I was in the herd. I was, you know, I'm like, I don't know. It's a scene from a movie where the guy is sort of stuck in the crowd being taken down the road as he looks back at the old world that he used to live in. Well, that was the life I lived. You know, it was great, right? Like any new thing, I was excited. But privately, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, man, you know, I'm glad we're not doing that. But I do miss these couple things. And so, you know, I'm publicly, I'm saying, man, thank God, I'm so grateful. But privately, I'm sort of mourning, you know, probably one of the biggest, longest relationships that I had at that point, and that was with booze and everything, and booze and drugs and everything that came along with it in that world. And all of a sudden, it's a breakup. You know, I said it's like, I compare it to, like, you know, that girl that you used to date that, you know, it's over. I mean, it's over, but you still think about her, right? You're like, eh. But you know it's over. It's the same thing, right? I don't think it's wrong that you think about her, but you have to remind yourself it's over. And that's what, you know, recovery is. You know, those spirits, right? Those memories will always come up as the shiny ones. And I do miss the shiny moments. They weren't very many of them, but they were fun. But the reality is it's over. But it's a whirlwind, man. You're all of a sudden going from this world to this world, and it is crazy. And, you know, and of course, early on, having Ron M as my temporary sponsor, and I think Ron M was my temporary sponsor because Ron M was great at just getting you to meetings, getting me to meetings, you know, introducing you to this new life. I don't think Ron M really wanted to work. I shouldn't speak for that. I don't know that. But I know there's people that like being temporary sponsors because they like the 1, 2, 3, not necessarily wanting to go through the steps, right? Not necessarily wanting to do all the work. Just, you know, come in, you know, follow us, get in the herd. That's what it felt like. I don't know. Ron M, he may be a step lover. He may love doing the work. I know for me, I'm not a huge fan of doing step work with people because, you know, every time I do it, I'm like, am I doing this right? It's always, you know, the unknown, but it's fine. It's been fine. But it's a, you know, we start doing some work and we start addressing some stuff and I'm still like, do I even want to be sober? Right, but I'm not going to say that out loud, right? Because that would sound like the anti-sober, to actually wonder if I want to be sober, which is perfectly normal. Right? I tell my guys all the time, listen, if you feel like you miss drinking and you know, that's fine. You can miss drinking. I miss drinking. But we have to think it through, right? We have to realize that the game is over, the party's over, but we don't have to feel bad about it. And, of course, when my buddy shared on Friday, he ended up talking about the steps. And, you know, I shared, you know, and I actually sort of, sometimes I'll say something and then I'll, like, the next day I'll think about it. I'm like, wow, that's really deep. Like, I don't even know where some of that stuff comes out of. And it's not deep, but it's just a sort of a perspective I hadn't really said out loud. But, you know, the steps and, I remember why, because the topic was back to basics, keeping it basic. And it has always, you know, I do love a good back to basics meeting. It has always been about the first three steps for me. You know, I think, you know, the 1-2-3 waltz, you know, we admit we're powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of a God of our understanding. Those three things, the 1-2-3, is for me the program. That's my life. That's the program I live today. 1-2-3. 4-5, the moral inventory, and sharing it with somebody else is, you know, giving me an inside look at to who I am, who it is in those first three steps I'm working with. 5 and 6 and 7 is about character defects and shortcomings. All to understand who that guy is I'm working with in steps 1, 2, and 3. And 8 and 9 are about amends and, you know, closure for some of that stuff. Also, I can understand who the guy is that I'm working with in steps 1, 2, and 3. And that has been, you know, my journey in this program has been, you know, as much as I want to, you know, coming in, I'm like, I want to work through these steps. Do number 1, do number 2, do number 3, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 12, bam, done. It's not the case. I thought that. It is not the case. And that's the meeting on Friday reminded me. You know, I practice 1-2-3 on a daily basis. I work with the 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 to understand, but I'm always bringing that knowledge back into the 1-2-3, still, you know, admitting on a daily basis that I'm powerless over alcohol, that I'm powerless over food, I am powerless over, you know, it could be women, it could be self, right? I have to remind myself I am powerless of self on a daily basis. Came to believe over time and a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. You know, what is the def? Doing the same thing over, expecting different results. And that does sound super basic and super, you know, like that makes sense. But then I think about it and I'm like, I did keep doing that. And I did keep doing that in recovery, doing the same thing over, expecting different results, right? Because I hadn't quite worked 4, 5, 6, and 7, right? Hadn't quite gotten through those. So I'm still not drinking 1, 2, 3, living in that, but still carrying on some of that behavior because it takes time. It definitely takes some time. But, you know, then I, you know, start doing this, the 6 and 7, our character defects and our shortcomings. You know, I had, I met with the guys, the fellas, on Sunday, and it's always great because we're sort of trying to work through this 4-step. And, you know, I love the professionals. I love the experts. I love the people that know how to do it. I think it's so good. We're working through it. And it was always about, you know, let's not, we don't have to do this. We get to, right? We're going to take their time. We're going to learn. Well, the problem is that, you know, we're not getting very far. And that was what I was trying to avoid. I don't want this to become a burden, a thing that we have to, right? We don't want to have fear. I mean, shit, I don't know. Maybe we do. I don't feel like that's the right way. So we're just taking our time. But, you know, it's becoming a little bit slow. And I said, guys. And so I met with M1 and M1 by himself last week and both this week. But M1 last week brought a list of family. And I go, family's great, but let's not do family right yet. Let's do other things. Let's find some other examples. I mean, family's obvious. And, you know, whatever. And then, of course, M2 came back this week, and he had a list of family. And I said, let's not do family. Let's find some other things. And, you know, it was funny because M1, he was telling me that he's living with his parents. He's a younger guy. You know, he's in his 20s, I think. But, you know, it's one of those, and I get it. You know, I live with my parents while I was in my addiction. And, you know, my parents put up with it, and it was a lot of, you know, testy times and, you know, them trying to do their best, but, you know, having to put up with my bullshit and me, you know, not really giving a fuck and them still hanging on. And, you know, I'm grateful for that they stuck with us, but you know, it was tough times. And my buddy, you know, he's sort of going through it now because now he's living with his parents sober, right? And it happens a lot, man. A lot of people that are coming into recovery are actively drinking and living with their parents. A lot of the times the parents are big drinkers too. And, you know, that's something we've had to discuss. But, you know, fast forward, and a situation came up, and they were going to watch a movie, and my buddy M1 said, you know, I was telling his dad, this is maybe the movie we should try to watch, and his dad's like, no, I saw this movie, this is the movie we're going to watch. And M1 was like, well, shit. He caught feelings, right? He got feelings. And it's a great example because it's not a big deal, right? It's a movie, right? It's a suggestion. It's, you know, there's no fight, but it's the feelings, right? And this is what I think the seventh step is, shortcomings, you know, and I've said before, you know, if a person like, you know, hey, what's going on? I was taking a movie. We got to see this movie out loud. This is what we're going to see, and dominates the conversation, you know, and nobody has a chance. And that's the movie you end up seeing. And everybody in the room is really annoyed because this is how this person is. This is their character, right? That would be considered a character defect, right? That's a, like, this person, you know, doesn't have a lot of give when it comes to movie suggestion. I'm just sort of using this as an example, but you know, I think we all know a person like that. You know, you're trying to do something and some person is so set on their ways that you just have to go with it. And in the end, you get a little bit of a resentment or whatever. Well, that's sort of what happened. But see, that to me, you know, out loud, boisterous, you know, my way or the highway, that to me is a character defect. Well, when a person, you know, makes a suggestion and gets poo-pooed, right, and catches feelings, to me, that's the seventh step. That's a shortcoming because nobody sees, well, they might see a little bit on your face, right, but it's not completely obvious that you are annoyed and carrying a resentment because of how that movie choice was made, right? It's something that's private, right, and that's the one, you know, when a person is with the crowd and there's a suggestion and you're so loud and annoying about it, you know, someone can say, hey, man, you should, you know, have a little more flexibility. Maybe not be so loud. Maybe not be so bossy, you know, when it comes to these kind of situations. You know, our peers, people around us can point things out and say, hey, dude, you need to chill out. But when we catch feelings and something like that that's private where we don't, it might be written on our face, but you know, it might not be so bad that everyone has to pay attention to it. Those are the ones I think that are between me and God, right? And that's why I call them shortcomings. They're short from coming out, right? They fall short from coming out that everybody can see. They're short enough that only you and God can see. And those are the ones that, you know, are tough, you know? And it is, you know, it's a great example for a fourth step, right? It's all pride, ego. But, you know, these are the little things that I think, make us go out. These are the. This was one of the little things that made me go out. You know, I've shared before, I went to that meeting over there in Easton, and I didn't like the way they collected the money, right? Didn't say anything. I didn't say, I must say I do not like the way the money's collected here. I didn't say that. I said, we'll find another meeting, right? And next thing you know, I was drinking again. It's that shortcoming, right? It is the character defect that nobody sees. It is the behavior that I keep secret. It's sulking and pouting and you know, resentment. And, of course, that would probably falls under justified resentment, because if they knew what I knew, they wouldn't do what they did. And, of course, you know, we'll just play it on stupidity. But it is, it's sick, right? But these are the things that we start to learn about in a program that I'm not sure, I know that I hadn't, on March 30th, 1997, had not signed up for. So I guess the point is, you know, it is a journey. Some days are good. Some days are not. But, you know, we have to just keep, I have to keep just moving forward, keeping my nose pointed in the right direction and be grateful. Because it's funny, on Monday I can have one way of feeling and on Tuesday I can be completely different. And it's just, you know, an understanding that's a possibility as well. So, you know, it's going great. Everything's good. Wanted to come up here and get the podcast going for the week, see if we can get a few in this week and chat about some things. But, you know, I did like, because I still think about this 6 and 7 step and this shortcomings and how my buddy always says the short, 6 and 7 are the same thing. They're not. They're not the same thing. And like I said before, 6 is the ones that our friends can call us out on, and 7 is the one that God has to call us out on, and that's a big deal. So, all right, let me read the Daily Reflections, and then I've got to, I'm going to cut my kid's hair, try to go to a meeting. Yeah, it's a great day. Let's see if we can do the Daily Reflections, and then I will let you guys go. Hope everyone had a great weekend. All right, commitment, February 16th. Understanding is the key to right principles and attitudes, and right actions is the key to good living. Yeah, let me read that one more time. Understanding is the key to right principles and attitudes, and right action is the key to good living. Okay. Understanding is the key, all right. Well, that's one of the things I feel like I'm understanding, is how the 6 and 7 step are different. And, that's 12 steps, 12 traditions. There came a time in my program of recovery when the third stanza of the Serenity Prayer, the wisdom to know the difference, became indelibly imprinted in my mind. From what time on, I had to face the ever-present knowledge that my every action, word, and thought was within or outside the principles of the program. I could no longer hide behind self-realization, nor behind the insanity of my disease. The only course open to me, if I was to attain a joyous life for myself and subsequently for those I love, was one in which I promised myself an effort of commitment, discipline, and responsibility. Yeah, yeah. Sounds good, man. I love it. Is anybody out there, you know, gone through that transition of like, wow, I was partying yesterday and today I am sober? It's crazy. Well, listen, I hope everyone has a great day. I appreciate you letting me share, and I will catch you later. Bye-bye.